Well, good evening. We are glad that you have been able to join us for our Wednesday evening Bible study. We have some that are not with us this evening due to sickness, and we want to keep them mindful in our prayers. And before we begin, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day and what a beautiful day you have blessed us with. Lord, we are grateful for your almighty power and your strength and your ability as the great physician. Lord, we pray that you will be with all those who are unable to be with us tonight due to sickness and those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Father, we pray that you will keep them safe and to guard and protect them and restore their health and their strength to once again be with us here in physical body as well as with the spirit. Father, we pray that you will be with us as we go through our Bible study this evening, that it will be beneficial to all of us as we open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we will be like clay in the potter's hand, and you will mold and shape and make us into what you would have us to be. Father, we pray that you will forgive us from our sins as we repent of them, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin with a very quick bit of trivia, okay? Let's see what we've got in store. How many days did it take God to create the world?
Seven.
Six. Boom. Six. It's kind of like seven, except for he did the work on the first 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh day?
He slept.
He rested. That's right. And so when he made all of the creatures of the world, he created man and woman. Who was the first man and who was the first woman? Adam, that was the first man. Eve, that was the first woman. Okay, he created Adam and Eve. All right, fast forwarding a few thousand years, who were the parents of Jesus? Who were the earthly parents of Jesus? No, it wasn't him. Joseph, and what was his mommy's name? Mary. Mary. Joseph and Mary. Who were the twin sons of Isaac? You remember? Who were the twin sons of Isaac?
Jacob and Esau.
Which one was born first? Esau and Jacob. Which one was born first? I'll give you a hint. He was really hairy. Who was he?
Esau.
That's right. Esau. He was born first and he was really, really hairy. That's right. What about if we sing Jesus Loves Me, okay? Y'all have to sing really loud because we don't have a lot of people here tonight. So you have to sing really, really loud, okay? All right. Sing number 4 in the supplement book. This is the battle belongs to the Lord. All right. Y'all ready? We'll try this.
In heaven.
Is God little or is he?
He's
huge. He's big. How big is he? Is he that big or is he bigger than that? Bigger than everybody and everything. Okay. My God is so big. You ready? All right. We've been getting into our study of the Ten Commandments and connecting that to us in the 21st century as Christians. So we looked at on last Sunday evening, we looked at what this might mean for the non-Christian. And the Ten Commandments to the non-Christian is the way that we can find out about the law, that they can become aware of what sin is and its consequences and why we need to seek for forgiveness. And you cannot seek forgiveness until you realize that there has been wrong that has been done. The danger in that, though, is that the world says, you can do whatever you want to do. There's no such thing as sin. If it feels good, do it. If there's nothing wrong with inside of your heart, then it's got to be fine. And for the Christian today, The commandments are important because even though his sins as a Christian are forgiven at baptism, we need to know what about sin, what is sin's all about, and how we can deal with it, and how we can handle it on a daily basis by the power of God in order that we could grow in Christ, and we could finally obtain, if you will, through God's grace and God's mercy and His guidance, and be sanctified before Him. The Ten Commandments are listed here on the screen, and we'll go through them together. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. So these are the Ten Commandments. And so last week we just kind of went through an overview of what the commandments are, what they meant, and how that connected to us. And tonight we're going to begin going through the first commandment. We're going to begin with commandment number one. Why else would you start anywhere else? As mentioned by several, this was the most important commandment. This is the thing that stood out to them the most. And I believe there is good reason why God put this as the first one and why this would be number one. In Exodus chapter 20, it's really verses 2 and 3. That's a typo error. You'll find several of these probably. It says this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of the slave. You shall have no other gods before me. So what did God say that he did for the children of Israel? He brought them out of Egypt. They were in captivity. They were in slavery. And I am the one who brought you out. I am the one who sent the plagues down on the land so that Pharaoh would let you go. I am the one that prepared that tenth plague that you would be able to leave, and you would be able to leave with haste. And Moses, my servant, was going to lead the way. And he got to the Red Sea and parted the Red Sea by my power and by my command, sticking out his staff. I am the one that brought you out of Egypt, and you shall not have any other gods other than me. In Egypt, you may have heard about all kinds of gods. And they had a god for the sun. They had a god for the river. They had a god for the rain. They had a god for the tree. They had a god for the dirt. They had a god for the pyramids and the bricks that they would make. There's no other god. And we read this sometimes and we say, you shall have no other gods before me. And if you look at the Hebrew word and what it literally translates as, it is before my face. Some versions have it written as besides me. I think sometimes we can get misconstrued if we don't go back to the original text, that we think before me is more of a placement. And that's not the way that it is written out. There are no other gods. In front of me, before me, besides me, there's not to be another one. So this is not a pecking order that God has laid out and said, I just need to be number one. I am to be number one, and I am to be only God. You shall have no other gods before me. He didn't do this just to be made first, as I mentioned. And I think about how Paul in Acts chapter 17. Paul goes into Athens and he's standing here amongst all of these idols that are made up. And we'll get to idols in commandment number two. And he's standing before all of these idols and before all of these gods. And he says, I am going to declare to you to the unknown God, the only God. All of these other things you have made up, they have been from your imagination. They have been handed down as tradition and legend. These are not real. There is only one God. And so Paul kind of even sets it up centuries later to tell them there's only to be one God. And he began to preach to them the God, the Father of Jesus Christ. And so the idea that many gods are available for worship today is not, unfortunately, surprising. That many people, even today, serve many other gods. They give their gods a different name. They worship gods in a different way. They honor God in a different way. And they honor the different gods and not Jehovah, the Lord God. What are gods that are chosen to be worshipped today? Can you think of some? Maybe other religions have tend to follow after. Buddha, that's a big one. Allah. There are still polytheistic religions, the Greek and Roman gods that people still follow after. There is within the Hindu religion many different gods and many different parts there to be worshipped. And even, unfortunately, some that claim to be Christians that believe, why can there not be more than one God? Why this command? Why was this command given? Well, this is a lot of, we can read literally as to why he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you up in the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, the house of slavery. I think worshiping other gods offends the one true God. Whenever we recognize something or someone else, or we put up some different type of God as the source of life in the created world, I would find that offensive as the true creator. If I was God, I would find that very offensive. If one of my kids looks at me and says, you're not my daddy anymore, well, that's pretty offensive to me if, you know, we're being for real about it. And then I don't want to have a problem with that. Well, I could see God as our Father having much of the same problem when we decide, well, you're not going to be God anymore. I'm going to worship over here at this God, of Ra, or Allah, or Buddha, or whatever else. It would also rob a person, an individual, the opportunity to have a relationship with God, and the true God, the all-powerful God, the all-everywhere God. And we think about He is omnipotent and omniscient and anything and everywhere and everybody and all strength. And we just think about how my God is so big and so strong. And that is the God that I want to have a relationship with. And when we decide that we want to follow after some other God, then we're giving up that relationship with the true God. Number 669 is a song called This Is My Father's World. And as we sing this song together, let's really think about what this song says to us about my Father's world and not just some other God. So when we think about why this command, we see that worshiping other gods is dangerous. When people worship something other than God, they are in effect relying on something that doesn't have power. And it doesn't have the power to save them. It doesn't have the power to help them. It doesn't have any power at all because it's not real. And it doesn't matter how sincere you are about it. It doesn't matter how zealous you feel about it. It doesn't matter how much you feel it inside of you. It creates a false sense of worship and it is totally fake. And so by doing this, we build up this false notion within our minds that everything's going to be okay because of this God that we have aligned ourselves with that is not truly the Father of this world. What does the first verse of the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it is by no other hand. It is by no other power than Jehovah God. And that is the only one. And so, worshiping other gods is in fact dangerous not only to us here on this earth, but also all the more importantly, spiritually speaking, for the life of eternity, because we have not aligned ourselves with the true God. So here's the question that I think can be taken several different ways is, how do people break this commandment today? Well, one way that I thought about was they do not honor Christ as God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. If you choose to follow after some other God on this earth with your life, you can live all of your life. And you can feel yourself, you can be sincere, like I said, you can be zealous, you can feel good about it. But when you die, you will soon find out that in no other name is there salvation, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, than in the name of Jesus Christ. It says there will be, every knee will bow. Those who are in heaven, those that are on the earth, those that are under the earth, everyone will understand and will recognize on this day that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the King. He is the King of Kings, and everyone will bow down unto Him. And it doesn't matter what you felt like here on earth, and it doesn't matter how you were moved or how you were motivated. This is the fact. Paul tells the church at Philippi, you will bow down. And you can choose to do it on this day and recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior, and you can do that now, and you're going to, or you'll do it later. And we're all going to do it later, whether you do it now or whether you don't. Every knee will bow. Those who are devoted to or controlled by someone or something else. That's how people break this command even today. Judas loved money more than he loved the cross of Christ. And he exchanged out the Savior, his rabbi, as he referred to him as he followed him through Judea and as he followed him through Galilee. Judas loved money more than he loved the cross. And I would dare say that many, even unto this day, in a like manner, desire to follow after money and possessions and things of this world rather than following after God. Ananias and Sapphira loved the approval of others. And when we think about what they had done with their offering, and they said, we sold all this land and here is all the money from it. And if we think about what they were doing is they were kind of gloating amongst all the other, look at how much we provided for everyone else. Look at everything that we've done. They looked after the approval of others rather than following after the prestige and the service of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Demas has left after the pleasures of this present world and gone on to Thessalonica. He said he's loved this present world more than he loved the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. He has sought out after the pleasures and the activities of this present age over the things that are above. Each one of these began as Christians. But like in the parable of the seeds teaches us, some are brought up quickly and then they soon wither away. There's some that never hear the word at all. But these people are brought up and they are quickly dried out because their roots are not deep. They are like those that fell on that rocky ground. They are swiftly moved away after something else of this earth. Sometimes it's our own pride that causes us not to humble ourselves and submit to Christ in the way that He teaches us, and it leads us astray. And most of the time, many are just brought away by the pleasures and the activities of this world, the power, the drawing power of sin, or the never-ending demands it makes on our time to slowly draw us away from Jesus. So, what is the way that we can honor the first commandment today? Well, we have to recognize God. There is no other way. If you are going to honor the first commandment, which says you shall have no other gods before me, then we have to recognize God as God. If we do not recognize God as God, if we do not profess faith in Him and that He is real, then everything else is lost. We'll be swiftly blowed away from by like the dust of the air when the wind blows. We'll just be gone because we did not recognize God as God. And our worship to God begins with Christ. Every knee will bow. Every knee will humble. Everyone will humble themselves and bow before the throne of Jesus Christ. Our worship to God begins with Christ. There is no other place of which we could begin our worship to God. We must have no other place in our heart other than for Christ. We cannot allow financial or business or family matters or education or any other affair to become our focus. Maybe we have been focused on different activities that we that we thoroughly enjoy. Maybe they're activities that are wholesome and good, and they're not necessarily evil or bad or sinful in any way. It's just that has now consumed our lives in such a way that we no longer care about God. And that, in a way, has become the God of our lives. And it's in a moment we're going to talk about briefly the idea. We'll introduce it to us, introduce ourselves to this idol making. And we have kind of like placed these up as idols before us, and the thing that we desire and the thing that we strive after and the thing that we go after. In John chapter 12 and verse 44, Jesus is speaking out here, and he's telling us some words I think that are very applicable to this study of no other gods and our worship to Jesus Christ. It says, "And Jesus cried out and said, Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." So Jesus is sitting here saying, I was sent by God. The things that you hear that you believe in me are from him. This is my Father who has sent me. If you see me, you see him. We are interchangeable. We are intermingled. We are the same. By seeing me and believing in me, you are believing in him and following after the words that I have come to speak. It says in verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. And that very first line in these verses says this. And Jesus says, I have come into the world as light. Now, this is going to require you to think back a little bit. When we talked about our 17 periods of Bible history, what was the time period just preceding the life of Christ? The years of silence. What kind of darkness was there in that time? And we talked about all the evil that was going on, and how all of these different sects of Judaism had risen up, and how some claimed power to their own selves, and how they set up these places for their own personal benefit to worship in, and there was a whole lot of war that occurred. It was a very dark time. And Jesus says, I have come into this world as light. And at a time in which the world needed a bright, shining light, Jesus enters in. He is the white knight in shining armor, if you will. He is the one that has come in to save the day. He said, I did not come to judge and destroy, but I came in to save the world. We'll go right back to that in a moment. Let's finish up our passage here. In verse 49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say, what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Jesus is saying, the Father and I, we're in this together. We're walking hand in hand. You see him, you see me, you see him. Following after me, you're following after him. We are before you in this day. This authority has been given to me by the Father. And in no other way have I chosen to speak except for the Father God. When we think about the darkness of which Jesus entered in as light, and I couldn't help but think about this afternoon as I was reading through this passage. If we look at the world around us, it seems pretty dark. With everything going on, and this is much more than the virus and the pandemic. It is much more than riots and protests and peaceful protests and uprisings and tensions and political climates and I don't even know if you want to call it a debate, but arguing back and forth between people, not only running for office, but also individuals within the workplace, within the home, within the family, within congregations. And it just seems like there's nothing motivating us to the right path. And at any time that has ever been, I think, what a time for a light to shine. And we sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine." Are we hiding our light under a bushel? Are we letting Satan try to it out? And we tried that with the mask on, it didn't work. Or are we letting our light shine so that people can see Jesus living in us? And when they see Jesus living in us and they follow after Christ, they're following after the Father. When they're following after the Father, when they're following after all of these things, they are in fact worshiping God. And it could be by the seed that you've already planted by being a light in a dark world. So let's go through some questions here. All right, y'all ready? Ready for some questions? All right. When you pray, to whom do you pray? You pray to God? You do? What do you refer to God as when you pray? Do you refer to Him as the Father? Do you refer to Him as God? Do you refer to Him as Lord? I'm not saying that any one of those is more better than the other. This is more personal preference, if you will, as long as you are, as Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Hallowed be Your name," as long as we are honoring that name with reverence. What name do you use more often than not?
Father.
Father. Lord. So we use different names, and that's fine and dandy. And what the focus is, just as we mentioned, it is honoring Him and setting that name apart, as we'll get to in one of our later commandments. Question two, how did God change from the Old to the New Testament? The sacrifice on the cross? Took away the old covenant, and now we've got the new? Okay, He spoke through prophets, and He spoke through His servants and the patriarchs in that time. And in the New Testament, He speaks in front of us, right here, right now, with the light in the world. You see me, you see the Father. He's speaking to us directly through His Son, Jesus. What about number three? What happens if we reject Christ as Lord? What happens if we reject Christ as Lord? There's no other Savior. There's death. And the punishment for sin is death. And now you're the person who has come to bear that and pay that for you is Christ. And if not, you're going to be the one to have to pay it. And so now you're just going to be dead and you're going to go to eternal death. Number four, what are some gods others recognize today? We spoke some of those a while ago. We said, Buddha, we said Allah, the multiple of the Hindu, we have Zeus, Achman, Ra, all those. What are some other ones, maybe? Money, yeah, that would be one of the other ones. Fame and fortune, you know, the life in the limelight, and even some just any various pleasures of the world, such as Demas followed after. Second follow-up question along those same lines is, how does that impact your beliefs? And how easily swayed are we by those same gods of money, fame, fortune, cares of this world? You know, it's easy to get distracted when you're maybe the only one around you in your daily commutes and your daily interactions, you know, that you feel seemingly alone and you would be easily swayed. And we need to make sure that our roots go much deeper than the rock. We need to get down into the good soil that we are strong and steadfast, so that when the sun comes out, when the pressure gets on us, that we are able to withstand that persecution. And that we do not wither up as those that we mentioned did as well. And number five, are you committed to putting aside others to be worshipped? Well, we have to be. You know, if we're going to be here and we're going to be Christians, we have to put aside all of these other gods, and we have to put aside all of these other things in order to be truly worshiping the one Lord God. Okay. For you to prepare for next Sunday evening, we're going to look at the second commandment. Now, we talked about no other gods tonight. What is the second commandment? We mentioned all 10 of them. Now I'm going to see if y'all remember. No idols. There we go. So if we're going to just kind of sum it up, no idols. Here we go. Verse 4 of Exodus chapter 20. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of your fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Sunday night we will begin to look at no idols. Any questions or further comments tonight concerning our first commandment of no other gods? All right. We will sing number 207 as a song of encouragement in just a moment. In this world that which we live in, we have a lot of different voices. We have a lot of different voices in our minds, in our heads. We have different voices. You have different voices at work. You have maybe you have a supervisor, or you have subordinates, or you just have coworkers, or you just have customers or consumers of your product, and you have to deal with those. You hear all of those voices. Some of those voices are good and encouraging, and some of those voices are hard and discouraging, and some of those voices you just wish to put duct tape over their mouth. And then in some cases, we have all kinds of voices within inside of us. We have perhaps you have your mother's voice, you know, irking you along over here, and you have your daddy's voice over here, and then you have a nagging voice that comes over here from the other side of the bedroom, and then you have all these different voices from people along the way. She hears the nagging voice, not me. And we have all of these different voices leading us in different directions. And then we have voices that are just within inside of us as we sit and we meditate and we think, you know, what is the right thing that we should do? The voice that we should hear above all voices is the voice that comes from the Word of God. And it comes from the true God. And whenever we try to put all kinds of gods in our lives, it's very easy to get confused on which voice to listen to. And we struggle to get the right one to listen and to heed and to obey. This song of invitation, of encouragement, is this gentle voice that comes from Jesus, that is encouraging, that is loving, that is caring, that tells us that I know exactly what it's like to feel alone in a dark world, see the light, and I know the way, and I can help you get to the right way. And all you have to do is follow after me. Come with me and share the load with me. I have paid the price for you, and I will help you all the way through. His voice of invitation comes to any tonight that would hear to obey, that would want to obey the gospel. Perhaps you've been waiting for just a moment just like this, where the crowd might be a little bit lighter for you to obey the gospel, because I just get pressured from 150 people being here. Well, we have a very small number this evening here in our presence. Perhaps you would like to reach out to us. You can call, an email, text, whatever you need to do to get in touch with us. And we would love to help you if you are watching us online and you need help as well, need help from God. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.